We're back. This is the Blissman Podcast, Gakuwa Radio. We go way, way, way beyond what some smart people stay in the building. Yo, that was a great interview with Matt, yo.
Listen, I'm not surprised at all. All we do is bring in the dopest sports podcast
we got
on this level. It's nobody, man. There's nobody fucking with us on
real,
that level.
Real rap, yo. Real rap. We got to get Matt to start calling, you know what I'm saying, Charles Davis Sensei. I want even to get on Matt. I want him to be on next year's. I want people to start knowing Charles Davis as Sensei.
Exactly.
And we want the credit for it too.
Listen, did you miss when he said it? Did you miss when he said it on one of the football games that he commentated? If I was thinking, and I wasn't near TV where I could have DVR'd it last year.
Oh my gosh, I wish we could have had that on. Yeah. We should have put that on Instagram or something. We need that. He's the sensei.
That's my guy, man.
And KZ is dope, man. Like, you know what I mean? Your boy Kyle.
Kyle,
we gotta, we gotta start the KZ movement.
Listen, those brothers down in Good Morning Football, everybody like, damn, you always retweeting them and everything like that. Yo, they embraced the hell out of me. And as soon as they saw the barbershop, they was on it. You know what I'm saying? And Matt even proposed to me that one day we're going to create a show that, you know, I can be on there or have a word or two in there. I said, listen, I'm not waiting for anything. I'm not waiting for my... But for them to, you know, show love like that, you don't see ESPN showing love like that. You don't see, you know what I mean, good morning, you know, afternoon for whatever it is. You don't see Good Morning Football shows love with everybody, and it's well appreciated.
So you want to talk some boxing? Let's talk boxing.
Yeah, it's about time.
We talk boxing on our show, yo. We don't just be playing. We actually talk boxing.
Yo, what you think about this Tevin Farmer and, you know, Devontae? Because Tank told him, go get a belt. You don't have a belt. You got a couple of losses. Go get a belt.
Here's the problem.
Well, Tevin got the belt in the bag right now, but Al Haymon is not letting Tank fight for some reason. What the fuck is going on?
Okay, so...
break it down.
You want to go way, way, way beyond a whistle?
Please.
Smart people.
Even if you got to bash my man, because it's not cool with Mayweather and them doing with Tank.
I just heard some rumors about what happened with Javonte Davis. These are rumors. Okay?
Spread them.
Here it is.
Mustard.
Javonte Davis is actually managed by Floyd Mayweather. And Javonte Davis was spending a lot of time in Las Vegas. Floyd's there. And Floyd's kids are there. I think Floyd's oldest daughter is about, what, 19 now? 20?
Oh, shit.
How old is Floyd's daughter? Around that time?
Of age.
Around that age, right? Javonte Davis is about 21, 23. I don't know if they had any kind of relationship, but I do know that maybe Javonte was trying to maybe come at her, or they had some words for some particular reason. And I think Floyd warned him once about, don't come at my family. Like, whatever she say, you gotta do. She tell you, get the fuck out the gym, get the fuck out the gym. And so he got the memo. It happened again. Of course, Floyd took the side of his daughter, whatever that issue was, and ever since then, Davis has been on the shelf.
Hey, man,
now, I don't even know. I don't know. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Can't mess.
I'm just trying to
with
say
the
wife, if you put
the boss's daughter,
you can't mess with the boss.
What did you tell
daughter.
Me? What did you tell me when we were at the Loft Hotel? And I said, "Damn, shorty, looking at me." And you was like, "Yo, that's Michael Vick's wife." I was like, "Oh shit." You know what I mean? Like, it's certain things you just can't do.
Yeah. Vic was the quarterback. It's
Malik had to grab me by my collar.
We was there to see Vic. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm like, Malik, who is shorty over there? Keep looking over here. He's like, that's Vic's wife, bro.
Like, yeah.
Pull back.
Yeah. So, a lot of stuff is going way beyond the whistle.
Listen, man, we only bringing the truth.
Wild show. But, yeah, that's the word on the street. So, here's the deal. Farmer signed with Dazn. Farmer has had 5 consecutive great fights. He has a belt. Javonte say, get a belt and we can do this. I don't think it's Davis. I think contractually with Floyd and what is it, Mayweather Promotions, there's a disconnect between what's going on with Davis and Mayweather Promotions, and Davis isn't getting any fights. Meanwhile, Davis has been out of the gym. He's gained a lot of weight. If you saw in a PBC fight about a month ago, he was on TV slurring. He was drunk. Not a look. You have a guy like Farmer who's been dominant in the gym, and he got the backing of the zone to actually pull Javonte in. It's a fight that can be made. With Floyd, let them make the fight. That's the key.
Did you see? You never responded when I added you on Twitter.
What?
I was sitting there at night, and it was like 11:30, 12, and I'm sitting there scrolling, and Oscar. Javonte said something, and then Oscar De La Hoya was like, "Yo, Tank,
right? Tell you, right? Tell,
you want some bread? You want to fight? Come on over to Golden Boy. We got fights and everything." And then, you know, Ellerby came on like, "Are you crazy? What's right. wrong with you? You under right. contract?
Right? You about to get sued for this? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because it was almost slanderous. But you know, it's something funny.
Boxing is a dirty community
it's
right
something,
now.
It's something.
We
got to
get Kel on here, man."
Yeah, we gotta get
Kel on. What
it's
time
something funny. It's something funny going on.
You know
there.
What? I'm gonna add Kel right now.
It's something going on with Javonte Davis.
Like, we got it like that.
Mayweather Promotions is holding this kid back. So the zone is making a lot of, you know, major moves, and the next move they're trying to do is bring in Danny Jacobs. And the reason why they're trying to bring up Jacobs because they signed Canelo to possibly one of the richest, you know, deals in sports. However, somebody made a very good point. It's an 11 fight $365 million deal, but that also means Canelo has to win 11 straight fights. And when you talk about going through the gauntlet,
with Golden Boy, he's going to win him regardless if he wins.
Well,
or
that's hard.
He's going to win him.
Hold on a second, man.
Triple G should not have fought this fight. As soon as he talked about the tainted meat
hold on.
All that shit, fight is off.
I'm just trying to tell you. Let me just tell you the gauntlet of fighters that Canelo will have to pretty much go through, because all these guys
first of all, the twins,
have
right?
to go through the zone. Okay. But he's going to have to fight at some point in time, and he has so many great fights. Daniel Jacobs, he's going. Demetrius Andre, both are going to be the DAZN fighters. David Lemieux, another DAZN fighter. He never fought him. He's going to have to eventually fight Jermell Charlo, not a DAZN fighter, but that fight over time is going to get bigger and bigger. Billy Joe Saunders is also a big fight for Canelo. I find it almost impossible. Impossible. And then
I don't think he's going
to
be
hold
Billy
on
Joe.
If he wants to flirt around at super middleweight, you got all kinds of fights like Chris Eubanks Jr.
Number killers.
You know what I'm saying? James DeGallo, if he comes out of retirement. I mean, you have all types of major fights. I just don't see Canelo win 11 straight fights like that if he's going to be fighting all those heavy hitters. And the point I'm just trying to make to you is that, you know, Canelo is kind of like driving the whole middleweight division now. You know what I'm saying? The zone, if they can lock in Danny Jacobs and they can lock in Triple G for a fight or two, you also got the Triple G third fight with Triple G that's available for Canelo. I just don't see how he's going to get through all those fights. You dig what I'm saying? Like,
right.
There's no way he's going to go 11-0 with so many heavy hitters in that division and all fighting on the zone. Hopefully you can get some good trilogies, but some good rematches, some good bouts, changing the titles. I mean, the middleweight division once again is the ultra glamour division in boxing, that in the welterweight division, and it's so unique because the zone is pretty much capturing the middleweight division, while the PBC, with the addition of Manny Pacquiao, is pretty much cornering the market on the welterweight division. Meanwhile, you have Top Rank somewhere in the middle because they have good prospects on both sides of the coin.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, but here's the deal. And I know everybody talks about Bob Arum. You know what I mean? And all his business practices aren't the best. But with the ESPN money and the backing, there's definitely an opportunity to do some cross-promotion fights, and it helps everybody. Boxing has to get to the point where each entity helps the other. It doesn't make sense for one to do better than the other because you want the same eyeballs who's gonna buy a fight on the zone, or the same people who's gonna spend an extra $5 a month to buy fights on ESPN Plus. You dig what I'm saying?
Right.
That's how boxing needs to start thinking as a collective. But we haven't talked about the biggest news of the week, which was Mikey Garcia. He gives up his title at super, at junior welter, I'm sorry, at lightweight at 135, which means he might never fight Lomachenko because he says he's going up to 147 to fight Errol Spence. And one of the things that Mikey has said over time was, ooh, once I go up to 147, I might come down to 140, but I'm never going back to 135. And Lomachenko is pretty much telling everybody, I'm not going higher than 140 if I ever go to 140. So that's a fight that we may not ever see. But let's break down this Spence-Mikey Garcia fight, because 3 weeks ago, well, actually, yeah, it was actually a month and a half ago, 6 weeks ago, when we did a sporadic show, and we asked both hosts or guests on our show about Mikey Garcia and Errol Spence. They both thought that Mikey was going to win. You and I do not think that.
No.
I just think that Spence is just too big, too strong for Mikey Garcia. However, Mikey might be the most technical fighter in all of boxing.
Listen, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about Mikey Garcia right now. I think it's about time for us to stop underestimating Mikey Garcia. I mean, let me just say it like this. He moves like a brother. He's one of the first, or one of the Latin fighters, besides Roberto Duran Jr. What's up, Roberto? That can throw a punch while on the move. Mikey Garcia can throw a punch while he's on the move. Now with Spence, we all know that Spence starts a little slow. You know, he starts a little slow, just like he did, you know, when he went across the pond to fight, who's the guy he fought?
Kyle Brook.
Exact, Kell Brook, when he fought Kell Brook. Now, but the thing with Spence is, he's one of them fighters like from the hood. Like, remember them days when you slap boxing, you had to get yours back? Spence is adamant about getting his back, and when he gets it back, he's going to hurt you. So I'm not sure if Mikey Garcia can withstand, you know, that assault
once the pressure
starts coming down on
him. Pressure, Earl.
I don't know.
But Mikey is telling cats, I walk around at 160. I can make 147 very easy. Making 135 is extremely tough on my body. He feels he's going to be just as strong, just as fast. And his technical and his overall boxing skills aren't going anywhere. He's just fighting a bigger dude. He says, really, I'm a big dude who goes small. I'm just going to be a big dude. He said, I'm really a big dude just like Spence. So he's saying, I don't have to cut 25 pounds to make weight for this fight. I only got to cut about 15. I'm going to be so much stronger than I've ever been in any bout. You know what I mean? And that's what Mikey is banking on. And you know what? If Mikey can beat Errol Spence, where will you rank that in the realm of upsets?
If he beats Errol Spence, he will be the baddest man on the planet, far as the middleweights are concerned. You know what I'm saying? Because Spence right now, all we're waiting for is Spence and Crawford. That's what we're waiting for. But if he happens to fight Spence and alleviate Spence, the next thing is Crawford. Now that'll be a very tactical matchup, because both fighters are very sharp. You know, they're very sharp. So, you know, we'll see. But Malik, one thing I love about you, brother, is, you know, I have insight on insight. What I do is I go off of the eye test, and I'm able to see what a talent is, regardless if it's football, basketball, baseball, soccer. You give me any sport to watch it, and I can handpick talent. My buddy Malik here has a gift of analyzing situations from a contractual, you know, point of view, where basically I'm getting ready to ask him, how could that trinity make one of the best trinity in the world? And I'm talking about something like, you know, Hearns, Sugar, and Duran. That could possibly be Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence, and Mikey Garcia.
I mean,
break down what contracts have to be negotiated. Break down how each, you know, because each one of them, you know, one is PBC,
okay,
one is Top Rank, and who is Mikey with?
That's the point. Mikey's an independent.
Oh, so, shit, so it can now, happen then.
So,
It can happen. You throw the Mikey right, so, bag, it can happen.
So technically, Mikey Garcia is an independent. However, he takes boxing, quote unquote, advice by his mentor, Al Haymon. So technically, you can say he was in that PBC sphere, but Haymon has always advised Mikey to take the best deal for him. He has never really pushed for him to fight on the PBC platform, which is something that Mikey kind of likes. He's like, don't force me to do something that I don't want. But this is a fight that Mikey has also talked about in regards to, you know, proving that he's the best in the world pound for pound. And he didn't call out Crawford. He didn't call out, you know, somebody that, people didn't respect as the best fighter in the world. He called out the guy that everybody, the baddest man in the middle, in the welterweight division, which is Errol Spence. Now, maybe Mikey's not calling out Terrence Crawford because he's with Top Rank. Before, Mikey was signed to Top Rank and always said, I'm never giving Bob Arum another payday. That's a big problem. That's a huge problem because that means that the fight between Garcia and Crawford, if Garcia somehow defeats Errol Spence, that becomes the marquee fight. That becomes the marquee fight. And that's a big, huge summer pay-per-view fight. I mean, I'm almost thinking that can do 1 million views if Garcia pulls off the massive upset. Because because when you think about pound for pound the best in the world, while Mikey may be number two, Crawford's number one.
Yeah.
And while Mikey is taking on probably the most difficult challenge of any pound for pound fighter in the world and going up two weight classes to take on Errol Spence, let's not forget that Crawford is in terms of losing fights, Crawford doesn't even lose rounds. I mean, we're talking about guys who a dude who doesn't even lose rounds. Rounds, like, that's how dominant Crawford is. So in just his last fight, when he had to close the show, he just closed it just like that. Listen, I just want to think about how all of this can work, because we know that Spence is down with the PBC. Here's the great part. If Spence does beat Garcia as planned, and if Crawford keeps winning, there has been some talk of a Crawford-Spence fight. Not in 19. Trust me, you won't get it next year. You won't get it next year, but in 2020. Next year would be the posturing. They're going to see if these guys are going to be mega stars. Because in 2020, if Crawford's undefeated and Spence is undefeated and they both have big fights ahead of them, that's going to be a major fight. That's going to be like a 1.4, 1.5-ish pay-per-view fight. And that's a fight that Arum and both Al Haymon know they gotta make. And that's the breakdown of it. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, y'all heard it here. Y'all heard on the Blitz Mad Pod, man. Okay, you're not gonna get stuff like this. So me and Kel talked. Shout out to Kel. He's actually putting together his own podcast right now. He's taping for his own podcast, but I asked him to come back on next week and he agreed. So we can get, you know, some of these rumors and everything, you know.
The Mayweather rumor.
Because, you know, Malik got connects all over the place. So, he's in Vegas and he's in the cracks and crevices of all the gold.
We're asking
that's
about
happening.
Javonte Davis.
So,
okay,
we're going to find out about that.
So, let's talk about the Sixers for a second, because I had a chance to go down and see them this Monday. And when they
played
the Hawks.
I wanted to talk to you. How do you like the evolution of my man Fultz? He's coming along, right? He's coming along. He's coming along. Give it to him, man. He's coming. You don't like him either, man.
Let's just keep it 100. I don't think I gave people the breakdown of Cal last week the way I wanted to. So can I do it now?
Go for it.
In the barbershop last week, I broke down the history of Markelle Fultz. And let me just keep it real with everybody. I'm going to try to do this real quick. Markelle Fultz was not a big-time prospect in his sophomore or junior year. He kind of exploded in his junior year in AAU going into his senior year. The first school that actually started to recruit him was the University of Washington. Once he kind of dominated in the AAU during his junior year, going into his senior year, he got some offers to some nice schools, but he stuck with the University of Washington. Now, when Markelle Fultz went to Washington, he actually thought that he was going to be playing with Marquise Chris and a couple other guys who went pro that year. So, Fultz wasn't expected to be the man on that team when he was recruited. It just happened that way because two of the guys that was on, Devontae Murray from the Spurs, two of the guys who were on that team who helped recruit him said, yo, we're going to be a dominant squad. They wound up going pro, one and done. So if Devontae Murray was at Washington, the ball wouldn't have been in folks' hands. He would have had a chance to develop at the University of Washington. Chances are he wouldn't have been a one-and-done player. But they put the ball in his hand, and he had a lot of success. So much success that he averaged roughly, 20-plus points a game, 5 assists, and had, these remarkable numbers. But he was hurt. He got hurt at Washington, and he only really played about 18 games. And then after that, once the talk was about Fultz was going to be the number one pick, after pretty much no one really thought that, out of the blue, he kind of like shut it down. Washington didn't make the NCAA. They didn't play any tournaments. Folks shut it down. And then all of a sudden, it was like the mystique of Markelle Fultz. Meanwhile, guys like Jason Tatum, De'Aaron Fox, Josh Jackson, Jonathan Isaac, those dudes is in the tournament balling. You know what I'm saying? Getting experience, balling. All right? So the hype around folks started going on into June, and we're all talking about the process in the Sixers, blah, blah, blah. But if you remember, I know we all do, Boston had the number one overall pick. And I remember this because if I have the date right, Markelle Fultz went to Boston to work out for the first time with the team who had the number one overall pick. And after the workout, they asked Danny Ainge, what did you think of Markelle Fultz? And his response was,
I didn't.
He's all right. I mean, Danny, like, when he got there, like, what did you think? Yeah, he's all right. You know what I'm wrong? Like, what you want me to tell you? Like, he's all right. You dig what I'm saying? So, boom. 2 weeks later, Markelle Fultz works out for the Sixers. And guess what? The word was, it was a terrible workout. Colangelo still traded for him. Not just one picks, two picks. You traded the one of your most valuable assets for a guy who worked out poorly for you. Didn't even bring him back for a second workout. Not only that, they didn't even bring in Jason Tatum to work him out to see if he was as good. So we draft Cal. Cal has a little bit of success in the summer leagues, and then all of a sudden, the mysterious nature of his injuries, or he has some personal problems, and then he has some psychological problems. And you know what, man? Ainge seen this stuff when he said he was just all right. He knew his camp was flawed. He knew the kid wasn't as good as everybody thought he was. He thought he was an okay prospect, but not the number one guy. And he poker-faced Colangelo. And ever since that time, the Sixers have been trying to protect this kid. And here's the deal. The bar is set so low for him that it's unbelievable. Fans go crazy when he hits a jump shot. For a guy who's supposed to be our score. You remember when we drafted Markelle? He was supposed to be our 20-point scoring guard. He wasn't supposed to be cheering because he made a layup. He was supposed to be the third piece of the puzzle, not somebody that we just cheer when he shoots, not when he makes, like, fans cheer when he shoots. You ain't gotta make the shots. It's crazy. It's like people say, oh, you saw what folks did yesterday? Oh, he has 16 fucking points. Real dudes how many times have we watched Tatum 28 points? How many times have you just seen De'Aaron Fox 31 points, 11 assists, Trey Young 28 points?
See, my thing with that
I don't want to hear nothing about no young shit. I don't want to hear nothing about no young shit. They all young.
And you know what? I gotta give it up to Malik, because I always express on this show that basketball has not and will not ever be my strong point. My two sports, if everybody know me, is boxing and basketball. But out of everybody that he mentioned, you know what I mean, besides Tatum, because Tatum's special, I don't know what the fuck they didn't do that. But anyway,
they never brought him in for a workout. Never brought him in for a workout. They
that's
didn't know,
crazy.
That's crazy.
But when you have Embiid, a force, and you have Ben Simmons, a force, if Markel was on a team where he had the green light, like he got the green light.
Bro,
like,
my bro,
man,
bro.
I'm just saying, man. Listen, I'm not going against anything that you're saying.
My man.
I'm not going through anything that you're saying. What I'm trying to say is he has to find his way, so just don't give up on him yet.
Here's what I'm trying to say.
I seen the dunks, the little jump shots. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? I see these things. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, all right, well, maybe he can find his way. Look at Malik. If I could take the... Yo, Malik is boiling right now.
Can I just make
but
one...
But I'm listening to you.
Can I make one point?
I'm not being hard-headed.
Can I make one point? Can I make one point to you, man?
All right, go ahead. Get down.
It's other players in the league that would kill to be in Markelle Fultz's position right now. De'Aaron Fox would kill to be in that position. Josh Jackson would kill to play for
the
Sixers.
So what you think is his problem is not just being on go?
What I'm just trying to tell you, bro, is that there are other players who would kill to be in the position that he's in right now to play with two other superstars. It can't get no fucking easier. It don't get no easier, B. I'm just keeping it 100. I mean, like, yo, it don't get no easier. Man. Oh, I want to go to a team with nobody. I'm not trying, listen, I'm not willing to go to bum status yet, but he's a huge disappointment, and we gotta stop being naive on what we're truly seeing. We're not seeing a dude who was the number one overall pick. He can't beat out TJ McConnell. Why are we even talking about it?
The White Irish.
Why do you even listen? Think about the context of the conversation. Why is the number one overall pick talking about a guy who shouldn't even beating out a guy who shouldn't even be in the league? We actually having that conversation, like. Dude, don't you know the problem ain't T.J. McConnell? It's Markelle Fultz. I mean, I didn't even compare him to T.J. McConnell. You dig what I'm saying?
Listen, I'm with you. That's why I asked.
I mean, I just don't know why people won't. Like, why is the bar so low for him? Like, that's like saying, yo, we get happy when Carson Wentz completes a pass. And then he just throws four more in the dirt. Oh, it don't matter, Carson. Don't worry.
Yeah, that's
you're going to be the man.
That's Donovan.
You're going to be the man. No, dog. That's not what pros do, man.
Hey, man, I can dig it.
I'm just trying to say, man, shoot. This dude took 150,000 jump shots. Does it look like it, man? He shoots like Monet Davis, B. He shoots like Monet Davis, man.
And, yo, if you can find one of my tweets back then, do you remember when they were showing
and him
working out?
And I'm not dissing Monet Davis. Like, she like, nigga, I don't shoot like him.
Yeah, she probably. don't take what he said, Monet, bro.
Monet Davis, like, hold up. Don't slander my name.
I like that boy.
No, I'm not like him. I can shoot.
Remember they showed him in the summertime? Like, this is him working out when he was dribbling by himself.
I
quoted the retweet and said, listen, that's all well and good, but he don't have nobody in front of him. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got no defenders. He bouncing and dribbling the ball between his legs, looking like one of the young boys at Finley or Simons. Like,
I mean,
put somebody in front of him, and then we'll see what's up.
I mean, listen, think about the last number one overall guards. Number one pick list guards, right? Allen Iverson, John Wall, Kyrie Irving. When you think about these guys, you think about guys that's supposed to be, you know, game changers. Number one, I mean, you a guard. You got the ball. Like, you got freedom. You can take it to the cup. Like, you don't got to be looking around your back. Like, if you're the number one overall pick and the coach put the ball in your hand, you should be like, it took you too long. You should have gave it to me 2 minutes ago. Man, look. You know when you see it. You know it when you see it. And we try to act like we try to say, well, I see a little glint. You know it when you see it. We know when we see it. Let's just keep it 100. You don't want to boo the ball. That's cool. That's all love. If we want to show love, we want a Super Bowl, we feeling good. But the bottom line is, let's be honest with ourselves on what we're really watching here. And we're not watching a player who looks like he's a part of this process. Bottom line. This is Bushman Podcast, Glockwell Radio. We go way, way, way beyond the whistle. Yo, we got to just give a quick shout out to, no, I don't know, we don't. Boss? Boston Red Sox? It's just, I mean, you want to know a stat about Boston, man, that's really nasty? They've won championships in 11 of the last 15 years. In some sport, they've won a chip. 11 in the last 15 years, yo. That's just nasty. That's an insane amount of winning. That means like every year you know you're going to win a chip in something. Basketball, hockey. You know what I'm saying? Patriots, football. You know what I mean? Red Sox. I mean, they just like filling up. Like, why can't we get some of this? Like, we go crazy over one Super Bowl. These jokers got like six. And they got them all within our lifetime. It ain't like they got them joints back in like 1962, them Green Bay joints. Nobody seen them Jones. You know what I'm saying? Like them Jones, George Harrison. You know what I mean? Running slow motion, them niggas. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm crazy too much. You know what I'm saying? Nah, they got the joints you know. Man, it's so frustrating. Boston win another World Series. So the first rankings of the college football playoffs came out today. It's no surprise that Alabama's number one.
Clemson's number three. It's on this weekend.
Clemson's number two. LSU's number three. And Notre Dame is number four, right?
Yep.
I mean, here's the thing. Nobody can beat Alabama.
We're going to do it this weekend.
What?
LSU, we gonna beat them this weekend.
What you say again?
I'm riding for my team. I don't care.
Look at these numbers. Let's see something. Here.
I don't care. We finally got a quarterback.
Did y'all kidnap Tua? Is Tua still living?
No, right?
Hold up. Is Tua still?
That kid Tua is a monster. I'm scared of
Tua. Tua still alive?
I'm scared of Tua, man.
Tua living? Yo, you know these jokers had 2 weeks.
I got a
couple
of fellas that's down in the boot right now in Louisiana that's listening.
They had 2 weeks.
And I'm not going against the family. I'm not going against the Bayou. I don't care what they say, man.
Y'all had 2 weeks to prepare for this game, yo. I don't even know if that's fair. But they do got to go.
We got Burrow.
They do got to go to Tiger Stadium.
They got to come to the Bayou.
They do got to come. And that joint going to be crazy.
Listen, I wish I could go down there. Because you know what's name's going to be down there too, right?
Who?
You know, Lee Corsa and everybody's going to be down
there.
Oh,
game day. It's one versus three.
I'm sick right now. I'm not going to be down there. Sick.
Yo. I'm going to see. What's like, you can get a ticket. Yo. Think about how crazy this is. All right.
If you can look that up and get a ticket, I swear on everything.
I got it right here. Right. So.
Don't tell me we're going to LSU.
No, I'm not going. I'm definitely not going.
Don't tell me.
I'm definitely not going. So, I'm looking at all these college games. You can get tickets for like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, $11, $6. You know, the SEC. Against Georgia, Kentucky, the cheapest ticket is $135.
For a football ticket?
For a football ticket. But.
Bro.
But to get a ticket in Tiger Stadium, the cheapest ticket that you can get is $260. Double that.
Listen, I just paid.
Double that.
I just paid two. I just paid.
$258.
I just paid two end zone tickets for me and my father for $600 for Eagle game. I'll pay for your LSU ticket.
Come on, man.
You know what I mean? A SEC college game? A SEC college game?
Yo, dog.
That'd be retarded.
Yo, dog. I'll
pay for it.
I'm going to be able to touch the airplane with these tickets, man, for $260.
I don't care the energy that's going to be in that stadium.
The energy
bro.
In that stadium is going to be bananas. I just don't see how. I mean, really?
Listen, we can get up in the morning.
Really?
We can call my guys.
We
can go to college game day. And rock out in the bayou the whole day.
If LSU wins this game,
number one,
they go to number one. But how far do you drop Alabama?
Do you drop them right behind them?
Do you take them out of top four?
No, not at all.
But if Clemson
depending upon what Notre Dame does.
Why not?
Because they'll be then lost to a number three.
Why not?
Because they only lost to a number three. If they lose to a number three, you can only drop them one slot.
Yo, but Notre Dame
and that depends
won.
On Notre Dame's
win. If Notre Dame wins, they got a tough game against Northwestern. If Notre Dame wins and LSU wins, you don't take Michigan up to number four and drop Alabama down to number five. So Michigan can't make any jump this week. They can't make any headway.
The way these computers.
And here's the trick: Michigan doesn't even play a game, so they can't make any headway because they're not even playing a game. So they got a bye week. So I'm with you though. If if Alabama goes to LSU and lose, I don't think they should be knocked out the top four from losing on the road to the number three team in the country. I mean, let's just be real. Like, that's a tough assignment. But they're Alabama, so they shouldn't be losing. They shouldn't be losing. They Man. Really shouldn't be losing.
That's a hell of a game.
That's going to be a crazy game. So Alabama can listen. Alabama can take this week off, I guess. I guess Alabama can take this week off, even if they lost, because they're still going to be in the top four. But Saban's not going to let that happen. Tua's not going to let that happen. LSU's going to let that happen.
Man,
I'm sorry.
I can't LSU. Agree with you.
Sorry, LSU.
I can't agree.
But Michigan is going up to number four because y'all going to have two losses.
I can't agree with you. I'm not going to agree with you on air. Like,
y'all going to have two losses. Hold up. I take that back. Michigan plays Penn State this week. So maybe Penn State can beat Michigan.
Listen, man. Penn State,
they're disappointment. They're disappointment, man.
He only knows how to coach 55 minutes worth of football. He doesn't know how to complete a game.
Yes, he can't. The coach can't finish.
He's as young as Hugh Jackson.
You talk about the players can't finish. The coach can't finish. Yo! Shout out to the students of the University of Maryland, man. They've made a major stance today against the administration. Power to the people. They got a coach who on his watch saw one of his players die. The boosters tried to bring him back. The students said no way. The administration didn't stand up for the rights of the plant, of the family and the students and the team. They just made the right call today. DJ Durkin is finally fired. But shout out to the student body because they made it happen. Power to the people. What's Man Podcast, Got World Radio. Yo, Jay, you got any flags, man?
Hey, listen, man. I really don't have any flags for today. I really don't.
I don't have any flags today, but it's very, 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 very important. Let me say that again. It's very, 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 very important that next Tuesday, everybody gets out and vote. Real talk. We are talking about something here that is just totally unprecedented in American history. We're talking about the birthism of fascism. And if you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, Google it. You Google all this dumb shit all day long. Google fascism. Google apartheid. Because when this shit is going down, you want to say you did your part in trying to prevent it. Because this is what we're facing right now. We are facing a change in political and economic philosophy. That's what we're voting for. We are voting for potentially our way of life for the next 50 to 100 years. That's what we're talking about. This is critical mass. Because the next guy is going to be worse than this guy. And this might be the last free election that we have in this country. Think about this. We're not talking about 2020. We're talking about 2018. We're talking about next week. This might be the last free election in the history of this country. This is the Blitzman Podcast, Glockwood Radio. We go way, way, way beyond. We're so smart. People stay in the building. I want to give a special thanks to our man, our new first timer, Matt Hamilton. Good morning, football.
Matt the Hammer.
Yo.
Good morning, football. And listen, man, listen. I'm gonna call Matt on the phone. Kyle, Peter,
Matt show the Nate, stuff.
Or Kate. One of y'all gonna come on this show. I'm not trying. Y'all done got. Listen, y'all done turned into rock stars. I understand it. I understand the movement and everything y'all doing.
Yo, we
but y'all gonna give us an interview.
But we
on
gotta.
The show.
We
one
gotta,
of y'all.
We gotta. Yo, good morning, football. They just showed us love. They just retweeted our joint. They just showed us love.
Solid.
So we gonna get one of them. You know what I'm saying? They may have to just, you never know.
Tweet them every morning.
Hey, listen, we ain't good with them. I just dropped the Blitz magazine John on them. We just killed them on the interview. Never know. You never know. But you know, I don't do TV. That's the devil. I don't do no TV. I told you that.
Hey, listen, I'm gonna give it somebody gonna do something.
I'm gonna pass it off to you. I don't do TV. This is Blitzman Podcast, Glockwood Radio. We go way, way, way beyond whistles. My people stay in the building. Yo, two, we did it again. We did it.
Jay, hey, man, do what you got to do so you can do what you want
to
do.
I got two things to say. You better hustle hard or hustle your ass home. This is the Blitzman Podcast, Glockwood Radio. We go way, 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 way beyond a whistle. This is Fly Sports Talk, not Dry Sports Talk, you heard.